take this little walkie-talkie, TBX or something. It was before we had good FMs. And he'd be over there in the corner of the bridge, and call them up, tell them to drop some ash cans about 2 points off their port bow, about 800 yards, and tell them to be fast about it. So he'd say, "Aye, aye, sir, aye, aye, sir." And he would say, "Sail one, this is sail one," or something of the sort. "Do you get that? Now, what is my strength?" "Your strength? Oh, your strength. Oh, yes. Well, your strength is coming over about sail two. Sail two. What is my strength?" "You say I'm doing about sail, say, oh, that low. Well, you know, I think it's fine." And you say, "Give him the information." He said, "Well, I haven't got them in contact yet, sir." And I said, "You're talking to somebody, and they're talking to you, aren't they?" "Yes, but we're not in good communication level yet." And you finally grab the mic away from yourself and say, "Tell you."
A gap. An original recording.
The behavior of energy. What it does. What it can do. And two or three things you don't really expect to expect to. Cause it to be very hard and military important, and a big piece of theater of which we've discovered, since we began this processing last week. We are dealing with a very, very high-frequency manifestation of the basic causation of electricity or entity or matter. We're talking now, when we talk about energy, we're talking about the gradient scale of motion from the highest possible wavelength down to the lowest possible wavelength. As those wavelengths go up and down the scale, as we have different wavelengths on different parts of the scale, we also have different wave patterns and different wave activities, and these wave activities at the lowest part of the scale are, you might consider, a no-motion thing, and at the very top of the scale a no-motion. The essential element of the production of energy can be postulated to be a static, a complete perfect static, theoretically static. No motion, no wavelength, nothing but the potential of placing in time and space. That is his one potential it can place in time and space, but it is not itself motion, therefore the static is an intentional thing. It is an intention. And processing preclears intent has conclusively been tested, first week. There is nothing to it now in our technique. That's all there is to it.
No. We have them. That thing which can play in time and space, but what has no motion, to an all-motion thing which can do all of it in time and space. The essential, then, in the production of action is the ability to change. Trying to go over your head, spinning it all, becomes terribly simple. Here is a street. And here is an automobile there on the street. And you actually have to get some determinism from somebody or something in order to get that automobile here on the same street. Very simple. So the static up there determines change in time and space. And change in time and space is action. And the manifestation of action is energy. Or energy is action. All of this, you see, is difficult here because all of these are the same at all the same time. Now, we can take this radius scale up here, static. And now, as long as we have something, we'll take this point in between, and that point in between could just sit there, you see, and nothing would happen at that point in between. This point in between is part of the all motion, and it's part of the static at once. There's not going to be any action. There's not going to be any change as long as you have just one point sitting there. If you exert some self-determinism, some determinism, that is to say, determinism, that is the capability of this static to place in time and space on this. In order to do this, you have to have 2 points. You have to have 2 levels. So here we have this level here, which we will call A. Now that would be a static level. That is to be, it would not move, no motion, wouldn't change. It could sit there forevermore.
that level, unless unbalanced from another level. You could theoretically then go any place on this grading scale, anyone, and put a point down, or a level down. And unless some other level intervenes, that level would stay there forever, like the pyramid. And even the pyramids aren't staying there forever. What's happening to the pyramid? You're getting another potential at work there. You're getting wind and sand blowing from high to low pressure areas across the pyramid. And so eroding them away. And it may take 100,000 years to do it, but someday the pyramid too will be done. Now, you get then a change here A, only in the presence of another level. Now you can have a change between A and up here A prime and A prime prime. Now, there's three possible combinations. A prime and A prime prime are different. What's different about them? It's very, very simple. What's different about them? This has more static in it. A prime has more static in it than A prime prime. And A prime prime has more motion in it than A prime. The A prime prime being lower on the tone scale. This is the tone scale. So that when you put A prime and A prime prime in proximity, there, put them close to each other, it's not going to stay static. There's going to be a change. You're going to have A prime and A prime prime trying to combine to become A. It's a very funny thing, but any point on this tone scale has an enormous thirst and desire to be its own point. The static, for instance, the goal of a static is static. The goal of a static is to be a static. The goal of all motion is to be all motion. Now, the lower we go on this tone scale, the more motion we get, the less determinism. And the higher we go on this tone scale, the more determinism we get and the less motion. The two are separated. Be very simple here, actually. What we are doing at this time is going actually in behind nuclear physics. Now, by this representation, so you have a static, no motion, but an ability to place in time and space, and here you have an all motion, which has no ability to place in time and space. You get an interaction between the no motion and the all motion. Now, here we have three possible actions here. A prime can sort of leak through to A prime prime and affect everything in between, such as A. Or you can get A prime prime putting motion in toward the static of A prime, going upscale toward that motion, and again, influencing A. Or, actually, you can have A interacting with A prime prime or A interacting with A prime. This is very awfully simple. You can watch this happen. Unfortunately, you can see them. The best example here is to take on the tone scale 2 points now. And let's say that A prime here is a 4.0. A prime is a 4.0, and that's enthusiasm, that's pleasure, that's going to have a big time, and so forth. And we're going to say that A prime prime, lower than that, is the day of beautiful death when our dear old nurse passed away. Fine. All right. That is pleasure. Well, now, unless acted upon in some fashion or other, the dear old nurse. Somebody had a dear old nurse. uh, unless acted upon by some other area, this business here about the nurse will just stay static. And if this person, for instance, is permitted to sit still in a chair somewhere and think about the poor old nurse, you'd think that offhand, sooner or later, this person would blow the incident. That's not true. They won't. They'll just keep on and 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 on. So sort of clue that point to let in. But we take up this preacher, okay? So I said, what do we find? We give a very interesting manifestation. We say, we're going to run a pleasure incident on you today. Now let's go back to the point when you were swimming. La-di-da-ra-ra. And he starts off with a, he's in this fine shape, and he's going to run this incident. And you say, hi. And you say, come on, let's run a pleasure incident. And he'll start out again, rah-rah. And then there he is trying. And you say, come on, let's run this pleasure incident. Worry around about these brief incidents. And you start running that again. And again, more shit. Practically 90% of the preachers you get hold of, try to run a pleasure moment out of, will wind up in some other hell. They'll wind up in some cruel moment of something or other, or some moment of loss, or they'll go into complete apathy. They start right out, they say, rah, 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 rah. Wow. Now, this is what you're going to hear. You see, you said B40 on the talk scale, and they insist on being somewhere around about 0.5. Just like that. They don't insist on it at all. You've got an interchange of energy there, and you have this facsimile you're trying to run, and the second you activate this facsimile, both points on the tone scale are present. Let us say over here on the right, about 2 points off the starboard bow of your preclear, is an incident about the dear old man. And right here, about a point off port bow, is this wonderful incident about swimming. Rah, rah, swimming, everything's fine. And you make them start to agitate this incident about swimming. And depending on the amount of actual energy in it, it will either discharge into swimming, into the depth, or the depth will begin to discharge into the swimming. You've got an energy flow. And if you have this person on a meter, or if you have them earth properly with a meter reading, you can watch that thing flow. And it will flow until their potentials are balanced again. You actually can run this swimming incident and insist on running the swimming incident and insist on running it until you've almost exhausted a grief charge over here. By just being hard-boiled about it, you just keep on, you won't let them cry, they'll cry. Now, the other thing starts to occur. Every one of these points overflows. That is to say, it gets going in a certain direction and it has a persistency. It wants to go. The goal of a flow is to flow. So you have, I used to have a tribe of Indians in the States, and they have a wonderful lot of maxims. A wonderful maxim, one of these maxims, was the same as any other. The way to shoot a duck is shoot a duck. The way to cross a river is to cross a river. The way to get married is to get married. They just love this. So, but it's awfully applicable here. The way to, the goal of all motion is to be all motion. The goal of the static is to be a static. The goal of a grief charge is to be a grief charge. The goal of a pleasure charge is to be a pleasure charge. And the goal of a flow is to flow. That's silly. It's a terrible, awful persistency. It gets so mechanical to you that as you sit down, you feel like you're running a freak tree, you're playing piano. I got nothing to it. You start to flow in some direction. You say, all right, he's flowing in that direction. You let him flow in that direction, what's going to happen? The goal of the flow is to flow. All right, it'll go on and it'll flow in spite of anything that anybody does. It'll go on and it'll flow and flow and flow. Tone 4 here will flow into tone 0.5. And it'll flow down here, it'll keep on flowing, and it'll overflow. It will actually have an inertia of flow. It has a flow that once it starts flowing, it flows further than it should have gone. Its goal, its intention, its direction is too persistent and will continue too long, and it will not flow to simply a point A in between. No. The pleasure charge here at point A prime will flow down to point A prime prime, on and on and on, until all of a sudden A prime prime is all charged up. And A prime is all charged down. There's the potential motion, you might say, the amount of potential or the force or the potential of beingness of A prime becomes much less under this flow than it should. And the potential of A prime prime becomes much greater than it should because the inertia of the flow, it just kept flowing. The pleasure charge flowing into the grief charge just flowed and flowed and flowed and flowed and flowed and flowed, and right about there, see, it should stop and balance. But it doesn't. It goes on and it flows and it flows and it flows, and it all of a sudden fog. Stupidly, it's sort of saying to itself, you might say, you know, I should stop back there flowing a minute ago. It's like the comedian on the stage doing the double take. Somebody says something to him, you know, and two or three seconds afterwards, he continues on with his conversation, you know, and then all of a sudden, does, what was that? He'd been insulted or something. Well, there's always this overrun. It's quite important to you that there's always an overrun on this thing. If inertia goes too long in that direction, and it leaves A prime prime all charged up, so that you could theoretically find a pleasure moment, A prime, and then you could find another pleasure moment, A prime, and your free clear still insists on crying. And you could find another pleasure moment along about the level of A prime, and another pleasure moment, and another pleasure moment, and all the time forbidding him to do any crying. And you're just discharging down into A prime prime, A prime prime, grief. You won't let him get into grief. And he will practically blow up in your face. Did you ever try to cheer up anybody who was fat? The more you cheer them up, the sadder they seem to get. What you're getting there is your energy potentials discharging into their energy potential. You see, and their energy potential is grief. And you come around and you say, well, oh boy, it sure couldn't be that much. Why don't you cheer up? Life is worth living after all. And if you keep on talking like this to him, you'll go and blow his brains off. You just keep it up. You'll overflow too. If you've noticed this, you'll flow too long in that direction. You see that nothing you can possibly do is trying to help this fellow out. Just nothing. And yet you keep right on trying to change mind. Then you go off someplace and say, you know, I don't feel so good. Somebody comes along and starts to cheer you up, and you say, oh, beat it. What's happened there? Just your relative intervention to flow. All right, A prime prime. Now you get an overflow down here at A prime prime. Now what have you got to do? This tells you what you have to do is naughty. You know that if you run this charge that long in that direction, it's going to be a higher potential on A prime prime than there is on A prime, and you have to turn around and now look at A prime prime and run it. And you'll run A prime prime, and it'll go back here, and you'll get an overcharge on A prime. Have you ever noticed that the free three keep running this three times? And you say, go on, be serious. Please, won't you be serious? Under no circumstances should you laugh about this. After all, your dear old grandmother died in agony. And there she was, lying under the omnibus, and wasn't it pathetic the way she gave her all, and so on. You say, this is very unseemly. Why don't you be more serious about that? He goes, the more you tell him that, the more he'll learn so. You'll blow his whole track if you keep that up. Why? You're feeding him energy here at A prime prime, and if bringing up the bank and it's going to 4.0. Now you mustn't get the notion that the only interchange possible is between 4.0 and 0.5. They're very tiny grades of energy, though. It's just that A all by itself won't flow. 2.0 will interchange and discharge most aptly against 2.5. Now we're getting nice and close together. And you could go around somebody who is a chronic 2.0 and you say, I'm bored with life. Just try it. You start acting bored. Bored with him. Bored with what he's thinking about. Bored with what he's doing. And he tries to eat you up, spit you out. He gets in a frightful state. He just gets more and more and more because you're permitting a downflow into him from 2.5. You're saying, well, hold on. What's the use pushing around like you're doing any? I'm trying to run over everything and come to that nonsense. Well, I was thinking about the life. It doesn't matter much anyhow. Life is sort of dull anyway. You really charge him up. He'll charge up until he's ready for a condenser flash. And that's actually a way of talking. Now, 2.0 does a wonderful engagement with 1.5. Old fella comes around and starts getting angry, trying to hold and destroy around a 2.0. And a 2.0 will just attack. You get terrific interchange, and the fellow who is at 1.5 simply insists on holding on and destroying 2.0. You give him the most wonderful fight. The only way familial peace is restored, actually, when you have a 2.0 married to a 1.5, is to get one or the other of them to shift potential down to 0.375 with solid amplitude. And if they shift potential down, that then there's peace. But let them try to come up out of that. The second they start to come out of that, you start to get an interaction. You get an interaction of potential. Your potential starts to change and it starts dynamite. What do you find in processing free clears? You find that you've upset one side of the family. If you don't fix up the other side of the family and change its potential too, the whole marriage will blow up. There's actually a technique for doing it. You just make sure that you run out as many overt acts as you run out motivated. Just run out as many overt acts as you run out motivators, and you'll see fairly well balanced in tone that you're taking the intensity of it. And then go on up the tone scale eventually. But if you were to take both the husband and the wife in the process, and process them carefully, making running off as many overt acts as you ran off motivators, and you're keeping nice and balanced, they'll stay compatible. Otherwise, there's going to be at least one period when they practically blow up in each other's face. Because one of them is higher tone than the other. This gives the manifestation of one person holding another one down. You would be surprised at the oppression somebody at 1.5 or at 1.0 feels in the face of 4.0. It's just too wide. It's just a crushing height to it. They become furious. Even down there at 1.0, they become so covert. They become so 1.1, you might say. When they're hit with too high a tone level, constant flow, that level is much too much for them. Now here actually is potential. I don't care if you say, here is a terminal in a generator. And here's another terminal in a generator. We'll call this one minus and we'll call this one plus. All we have to do is change potential one on the other and we'll get a current flow between those two lines. And if we go and hook these lines up to an electric light bulb on here, and here's your electric light bulb, and the bulb is light, you get an interchange going, interchange of tensor, change of tensor, change of tensor, change of tensor, and you get a flow between them, and that flow is represented as an electric light bulb. That electric light bulb. You change potential between the two. There's light shift potential. You do it with mechanical energy. And you shift the potential with high, and you shift the potential the other way. You do it with magnet field and mechanical energy. And you get an electric light. It'll burn out there on the other end of the line. There's an energy change. And what happens to a free clear when you've got it hooked up? Very interesting. You're getting shifting potentials around, changing potentials around. You'll see an E-meter fly back and forth one way or the other. But if that isn't good enough for you, you can actually set up a deck of voltmeters, and if you can see it clear, you're changing potentials with facsimile A prime to facsimile A prime prime, you can have full energy at the deck of voltmeter, which is not otherwise connected to anything but is grounded. Having full energy is one of the terminals, you will get a reading on it. That's all of that. Electricity. And what you can say about electricity is the fact that electricity is an energy flow manifestation. An energy flow manifestation caused by an interchange between two different potentials. Now, you have a bucket of water, it's full, and a bucket of water is empty. And one bucket of water will flow down into the other bucket of water. By the way, if you connect these two buckets of water with a pipe, and then you open the pipe, see, here's a bucket of water, and here's a bucket of water. We've got the same thing here in water. Now we've got a pipe here with a pet stock on it. Well, we open that up. This bucket of water is full, and this bucket of water is empty. And we open that up, and the water rushes like mad through that little pipe, and it starts filling up this empty bucket. The bucket fills up, it fills up, and what do you know? It'll invariably fill up too full, and then flow back. And then it'll flow back again too much, and it'll overflow, and then it'll flow back. The flow goes good, boom, 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 boom. Flow. Beautiful. Now that's what I mean by overflowing, and that actually is this bucket of water here, this full bucket of water, is a facsimile which has a lot of charge on it. That is, there was a lot of action, there was a lot of energy present at the time a picture was taken of this. And that picture that is taken is an actual picture of energy flows and is itself and does contain a mass of energy units, which remain unmoving and undisturbed until acted upon by a live flow or until they're connected to a ground, and then they'll flow. A facsimile is spatial. A facsimile is spatial. It sits in space and it sits in time. There is a geographical location for every facsimile which your preacher or you have. Geographical location. And the flow of energy is between facsimiles. Because you have facsimiles with heavy high potential, facsimiles with heavy low potential. It would be one thing is how much action is wrapped up and insulated into and bound up and bandaged into this facsimile on the one hand. And there's what level is that energy at, or what potential flow does that energy have in terms of wavelength or in terms of frequency? We don't have to go into wavelength. So here's a facsimile here and another facsimile over here on the other side. And let's say they're both very heavily charged, and one of them has a low heavy wave and the other has a high light wave. If they're close enough together in terms of wavelength, they will flow one to the other. Zing, zing. Each time they overflow, and you'll get a current going back and forth. Now, this is terribly germane to running because this is black and white property. You get a current flow to run as long as it will run. And theta wise, and actually very easily, you can see the flow. As long as it's flowing twice. And when it's not flowing anymore, it looks black. So you flow it in one direction as long as it'll flow white. And then it turns around and flows back as long as it flows white. Each time it reaches its terminal of flow, it overruns its flow. It has a tendency to stick. It takes you a bit of static application, positioning in time and space to get the flow started again. So, your flow starts here at A prime, it flows here into A, let us say. And as long as it flows, it looks white. It should look white. It's energy, live energy flowing. And it flows and flows and flows and flows and flows into A, and then all of a sudden doesn't flow into A anymore. Well, it'd be very nice if all of A prime had just flowed out and was now all contained in A, but that isn't the case. It not only flowed out, it flowed out so much as to leave what you could call a horrible term, something that would cause a basis of holy head and agony, a vacuum, an electronic vacuum. A vacuum of potential. It flowed too far. Now you've got to fill in the vacuum. Very interesting. But you want to. So A prime flows to A, flows, 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 flows. And then A flows back here to A prime. And flows, 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 flows. Each time you get your creature to track it, you can actually see a flow. You'll see a flow. You'll see a flow running from himself. Or if something flows up to him into the facsimile, then he sees it goes black on him. He goes, what? Well, you say, all right. Now, get it flowing the opposite. Try that for a moment. A little bit sticky at first. And all of a sudden, there he's got it flowing in the opposite direction. It flows whiter, gray, or white. Back, back, it flows back, 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 back. And all of a sudden, he's black again. He says, well, so your evening. Every time it goes black, your evening is thick. The needle freezes. And as long as it's flowing, your needle is changing. And when the facsimile are run out, that flow is really exhausted and discharged and bled off, evaporated, it goes off and from body heat or body manifestation of electricity, or body cold, or he gets smart enough to tell us, Johanna, he just hooks them up with a steam radiator. Great silly. The fellow working on his spectrum, he works on his spectrum, he works on it. Oh, you say, well, why don't you put it over against the water tap? I couldn't. Before, why don't you put that ridge over next to the water tap? It's a very silly sounding thing for him. The first time you get him trying to get him to do this, I'm too low tone to do it. He's alone. No. But one of these times, you're suddenly going to get him, stick that facsimile up, and move it over against the water tank. Then he'll feel it go. It'll flow just so long into the water tap, and you say, it's gone all black. And you say, well, pull it off the water tap, and it'll flow through. You say, I got a pain in my back. Because what he's done, he's still connected up to the facsimile because he's holding it over there, and it starts to change the energy potential to him at the same time. He's very fortunate that he's still working on the free flip, the big hit. As he does this, so I was just my thought on just electricity. He's been struggling with it back here. He's just been struggling with it, and struggling with it, and struggling with it, trying to get it to flow, and he gets it white, and then it goes black. Then the reverse flow comes in on him, he gets frightened to death, and then he gets flowing again, and it's upset the floor. You finally say, push it over up against the water tank. Put it over there. See that steam radiator pipe? Or you see that? That hook up over there. Go ahead, push it over there, and let it ground out. He moves it over, and he feeds it over there, and he's draining his breath. And then it goes black, pulls it off, and it charges up the other way again, and then he hooks it up, and you see maybe it drains all down all of a sudden. Now when he's real heavy and real high, and he's out of his body, and he's doing real processing, what he does when he's processing the creature is he will put a line between the creature and the ground, and he lets the energy flow along. And he'll alter it enough to drain them off. Actually, the poor creature can sit there, feeling himself getting traumatic all over the place, not in the slightest bit aware of what's happening. Of course, you're upsetting his self-determinism like mad to do something. But you can educate a creature to do this. Now, don't think I'm not going to mention these things again. Don't think this is a life and death proposition that we just must get all of us like this instant or strain out of therapy hard, because this is. This is process. Getting a real past rundown. I've got to go in now to the manifestation of the energy itself and show you how we wind up on ridges and so forth. But let's go look back at this again. You want to know where the pre-clear is on a tone scale? Well, you could measure it. You can measure where he is on a tone scale. You could measure it two ways. You could take a high-frequency meter, and you're getting flowing back and forth on the high-frequency meter a little bit, and you could probably read him directly, just straight frequency, and it would tell you a position on the tone scale. The other way you can do it is to find out how much resistance he has, because the amount of density, which is to say the number of ridges which he has, impedes the flow of a trickle of electricity through his body. And you can read by the impedance how thick he is. There's no joke about he's so dense he couldn't, and so forth. Well, that's literally true. And a person gets just so many ridges in them, and those ridges get just so thick, he can't think anymore. That's how dense a person can get. How dense can a person get? Well, he can get ridges from about 2 inches in front of his face to about 4 or 5 inches or 2 feet behind his back, and have all those ridges interconnected and completely thick, and he'll feel like he's in a sort of a chunk of concrete. There's no action possible under this superfluity of ridges. And if you get that case, who is that thick and that heavy with ridges, really, there's really only one thing you can do. Good state of clear process. You just hook him up to something. Hook him up to the water pipe yourself and let the energy fly and sizzle and crackle around. Believe me, there's lots of energy there. Now, fortunately, we know exactly how that energy gets there, exactly how it piles up, exactly where it's located, and exactly how to get rid of it. And we know exactly what will happen to him if we do get rid of it, and we know what will happen to him while he's getting rid of it. These things we know. We're not fighting a bunch of unknowns. Now, energy flow, then, is only possible between two different frequencies or potentials. Now, you could have a terminal here. Here's another condition. You could have a terminal here at A prime and another terminal here at A prime. And you could have terminal 1 and terminal 2, and you could have these things separated. You'd have them separate, and you could get a very high amount of action on 1 and no action on 2, practically at the same wavelength, and the 2 would balance out, but the person did not change in tone. See how that is? You could have 2 different levels of water in a bucket. Or you could simply have the same bucket with a compartment in the bucket. So you could have a compartment in the bucket. And a leak down here. And you have one side way up and one side way down. That would be the same level on the tone scale, but you just have a badly distributed proposition. You get this with many frequencies. You're all set. Now you've found an impedance that is just so hot that it just is going to run the second that you tap it. And after you've run it and run it and run it and run it and run it, what you've got is more of the same frequency.
Yes.
You've just taken the left-hand ridge and the right-hand ridge, and you short-circuited the left-hand ridge and the right-hand ridge together, and the right-hand ridge was more energy of the same kind as the left-hand ridge, and you just balanced it out. Now it's all along the ridge, and all the energy is staying along the ridge. The creek is just the creek on both sides of the ridge, instead of just one side. So you see it through the same wavelength, same spot. These wavelengths have been very, very crudely estimated. It was the most awfully crude method of estimating. Totally unreliable. It's just given as this awful dearth of material with which meters and things like that. We've actually got to build a science called electronics before we can go into this very far. The present tools are terribly crude. Best they can do with them is to build bombs to kill people with highest level. But fortunately, there's a higher level of pain. By the way, nuclear physics in general does move into these chapters. Moves in and out of them. There's several very fabulous writers in the past who have described this and that and so forth. What if and possible that and so on. The material is shaky because they didn't have anything emanating at these high frequencies. Now, we have here then a frequency, let us say the emotional scale, and this would be almost just for fun. The middle of the emotional band would be something like 0.034 something. The effort band would be down there around, oh, maybe 2, 3, 4 seconds. It's heavy, but it's very random when you're getting down in the effort band. Now, we go up along the line a little bit higher. Energy, you see, has a tendency to become more and more confused the lower you go. The higher you go on this tone scale, the greater directional character that energy has. Radar, which is a half an inch, is about the smallest radar they have, I think, this wavelength. The wavelength, you know, is just merely the difference between a bump, a noise, the nose, nose to nose. So you've got a wavelength, then, of a half an inch radar, terrifically directional. You get frequency modulation broadcasting, it's very horizon line, television, so forth. Terrifically directional. It has to be shot out in the right direction, or in a 360-degree direction, and it doesn't go through buildings or anything like that. If you had a tree between you and the early television set, you would see a tree on your screen. The waves, however, have gotten better and better, and they work this out more and more. It's awfully directional. Horizon line just goes out to the horizon and keeps on going. Now, that doesn't mean that it isn't a strong wave that doesn't keep on going. It's probable that our radio broadcast beams and so on aren't even vaguely receivable on something like the moon. Great common radio broadcast, unless you have a terrific setup up there with some little echo coming through, but that'd be about all. That's a different thing with television. Every television program going out here on Earth is probably receivable on the moon. It'll go right straight through the ionosphere, the stratosphere, your heavy side layer in the ionosphere. It can probably, you get wave penetration. And although it's horizon line here, it starts out there and practically goes on forever. Because the shorter the wavelength you get, the easier it is to penetrate through and keep on going in a straight line. You see how this adds up with self-determinism? Time and space. Place is time, place is space. And the higher the wavelength, the greater directional force you get. All right? The analytical thought, almost a joke, is about 0.1505, something like that. Somewhere around there. And aesthetics are done on the wavelength, which, again, at a figured guess, calculated guess, about 0.2602. So, awfully directional. Terrifically directional. So directional that it doesn't combine easily, like in the analytical band, so you don't get much reasoning about aesthetics. You don't get much reasoning as such about emotion. They're above and below the band of reason. But the band of reason is very directional, and it's quite self-determined, and it's capable of interlock with other bands. This would just be your tone scale, that's all. Now, any position on this tone scale will discharge against any other position on the tone scale to some degree. But when the positions are about 0.5 bands apart, one half a band apart, you get a very excellent discharge. A 1.0 becomes very frightened at the threat of a 1.5. Your 1.5 reacts terribly to a 0.5 reaction. You get somebody crying around somebody who is afraid, and you really got a mess. You get real action. I mean, that's big interchange in those bands. So you get what we're dealing with here. The reason you're dealing with it is so that you can understand that the interaction of bands, the interaction of discharges, interaction of potentials, manifest themselves here on Earth as human behavior. You get your artist. Your artist is up there in a potential of, let us say, again, this is not the actual figure, 0.2602 centimeters. That's his predominant wave. He has terrific direction. He can combine these waves in various directions with great expertness and so forth. And if you'll notice, an artist is as good as he can maintain time and space placement. The essence of art is time and space placement. And control of time and space. You don't like stories. You don't like stories where that start out, she was in New York, and then in the next paragraph, as she looked around her, all London. You say, what's the matter with this guy? Well, the story is reasonable. It's not a thing. That is, it's way down the band of reason. Low band. Now, that can create, perhaps, a great emotional output on the reader. All of a sudden, he's sprung from New York to London in one sentence. But it outrages him. It outrages him because it's not artistic, really. It's not reasonable. It's not a lot of things. Most art is a longing and an effort, a big effort, to try to put things in their proper times and spaces, to make everything come out all right. And most of your story uses their interplay, the inability of human beings to put themselves in time and space. And it's the accidental apparent being in the wrong time at the wrong place that makes plot. You never have the hero where he belongs, which is probably Don's public library reading up on how to be a hero. You don't ever have the villain where he belongs, which is someplace else, jail. You have the villain out of jail, and you have the hero charging down someplace on a white horse, running into the villain, and then the girl always is in the wrong place, too. They always take the girl, they put her over in the wrong place. She ought to be in a seminary or something, learning how to be a lady, but here she is out on this wild expedition into the middle of Borneo. She's out of time and space, you see. And the reason people object to science fiction stories so far is because this isn't common with their idea of time and space. Now, just the science fiction stories are less or more unreasonable. It's just the fact that they're not used to this time and space. To take somebody who has his track in terrible state of re-stimulation, this seems very ordinary, and Earth time and space seems very, very strange, they believe. So they'll read science fiction stories. So your artist up at the time, man, is interested in interplaying of things out of time and space and the effort of people to put things into time and space. If you read Shakespeare, along the line of each character, activity in handling time and space and trying to handle time and space. Each character trying to handle time and space, all of a sudden, the entire bare brass fabric of plot will just leap right straight out at you. Because where you have an interesting character, an interesting situation, it's where two people are opposing the placement in time and space, the semantics on that. Now, this also tells you that matter is probably just sort of decayed paper. It tells you that matter probably is not in the beautifully orderly state that some things would have you be. That is to say that there are so many neutron rings that fall over the young nucleus, and it's all very nice. They all run down the various corridors of time, and that's why we have that. We have atom bombs because somebody made more right guesses than they made wrong guesses. Not to say they're wrong. The splitting of the atom is a great deal of concern to us in 1932. Terrible concern. We have a lot of fun wondering and working around and so on. There are many ways of doing it. many, many more ways of splitting atoms that are now being used. But none of them, fortunately, were really good and workable in math in 1932. Truth of the matter is, if you can get a series of particles traveling at a higher velocity than another series of particles, they're both going in the same direction. Particle B had a lot of mass and a velocity of 2 units. And particles A have very little mass and a velocity of 5 units. You're going to get atoms split, believe me. You could just take the second series of particles you see and shoot them through the other series. You would be chopping through the units of stuff. Because what you're dealing with is a motion within 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 a motion. Now, when you finally get all the way down to the end, you lift the cover of the box real quickly, and there isn't anything in it. Now, big joke on all of it. Now, here is, let us say, a unit of motion, and it's flowing along a line here in some scale. It's going along, and that is its direction of flow. There's a motion of flow this direction. Actually, they're kicking particles rather than flow. So there is a flow along this line as well. And that unit is flowing along this line. Now let's take this unit of particles. We'll come back. We'll take this unit of particles. This series of motion. This is going in various directions within itself. In other words, this motion is flowing within motions within the motion. Now we take an atom. And, you know, popularly people believe in an atom looks like the solar system. They think there's the sun, you see, and they're flying around it are these planets. And the planets are electrons and the sun's a proton, something like that. That's cute, but it isn't true. Even to make an atom bomb, even that crude, completely imbecile use of nuclear physics, you have to know this, that... You have to know this, that probably more than anything else, an atom resembles an onion, where the electrons are the onion skin. You can't describe it this way either. I mean, it's different than all this. They always say that very hastily. Anytime you try to nail them down, what is this shape? Of course, nobody knows. But if you take your proton with the emotion, which is in here, very heavy confined motion, and your skin, as they come out, concentric spheres, so on would be your electrons. Now, your boys up at MIT, when they're tossing their slip sticks around and having a good time at Massachusetts Institute of Technology, which there in Caltech and some of the chaps here in London are the boys mostly responsible for confusion in this line, and they put it to a very good end. They blew up their team, didn't they? They used it well. And by the way, do you know that never crossed anybody's mind in 1932? Nobody ever thought it was happening. An atom bomb? If anybody come in and said, an atom bomb? You would have said, hey, you know, it should be used for that. But you know, you can take one small gram of this stuff, and you put it in an automobile, and then you drive 30 years to the automobile station. That was the only use you could think of for atomic power. People weren't thinking in terms of destruction. It took politicians to think of that. A politician says, well, I'll tell you, boys, we'll slip you, fellows, $3 billion if you will sell yourselves down the river, and so forth. So, to be very, very clear to your top of the bench of see, they hung a red light outside the door and said, you're interested. And here's, we'll take the $3 billion, and you should see those boys now. A lot of them are friends of mine. And they're saying, why did it ever happen? There's the display. They walk in and out of the stockade, and they go on. They're life and death to them is whether or not they keep government employment. They fired 87 or something like that of the United States on the suspicion they talked to the wrong barkeeper or something. They have songs. There's a whole series of songs that they've dreamed up that they sing. One of them was 40 millicuries by 9:30.
they're not happy enough. Not even crazy enough. Because they took something that might have gone out of this way. So I a little bit cheek. They had a butterfly net. Anybody that had gone vaguely in this trip, they almost had me twice. And each time I said, well, I'd be happy to, except I need your only table up, but I'll be right back. Now, don't go away. The last time this happened, by the way, big joke in 1950, Officer Naval Research, he's into all of this hand over fist thing, is very happy. And the Office of Naval Research came to inform me that they were going to bring me back on active duty. I thought this was very sweet of them. In view of the fact I was already on active duty, book one was just this. I was on active duty on about 80 fronts and no support troops. And all of a sudden, the Office of Naval Research turns up and says, well, we wondered what had become of you. And, sweetness and light, butter wouldn't have melted, you know, it was wonderful. So friendly. And I said, really, I'm not terribly interested in trying to work in the project. No, I'm really not interested in working in the project. And he said, smiling, well, we can always bring you back on active duty, you know. So I said, oh, don't do that. I said, I'll think it over. You better. So I looked very, very scared and very, very timid and very, very inoffensive. And when they got out of the door, I went out the back door and I jumped in the car and I went down to the Navy Department and I met old Bill. You know, you always know Bill. And I said, Bill, you know, the Naval Retiring Board, Naval Retiring Board is finally checked over my case, and I'm really not going to be retired after all, and he's starting to full active duty and all that sort of thing, and so forth. But I said at the same time, Naval Retiring Board also says that I'm terribly disabled. He says, you're not going to be any good to anybody. I don't think there's any war going to come off any serious injury, and that's why I want my resignation to go fast. That's a good point. That's a good point. I took it over to the Potomac Naval River Command. I took it over to the Washington Naval District, and I got the proper admiral assignment, so on, when they were sort of catching it. They went out the door, and a few days later, when the Office of Naval Research came up, they said, well, hope you've made up your mind, because this is about active duty. And I said, well, how do you do that? Tell me. They are something I wanted to show you, Bill. There was correspondence for about 6 months after that, trying to prove that an officer couldn't resign that fast. But it has gone down the proper channel, and there's nothing can undo something that's gone down the proper channel. Oh, all that's very discursive. It all comes down to the fact that you have motions within motions within motions, and if you're actually going to deal, if you're going to deal with a large government or with a preclear, you've got motions within motions, and what you want to solve and bring about is an optimum motion.